Welcome to the Sports Brewery Podcast. I'm Alex Braga. If you have any suggestions for our trivia or our list segment that happened at the end of the show, you can holler at us on Twitter at Jeromney, at TSB Ski, at TSB Pod.
Nah, fuck rap, I'm a street legend. Block love me with a deep reverence. I was birthed in a C-section. Helicopters and police presence. We got ops, so we keep weapons. We on y'all block while y'all eat breakfast. A lot of shots, we broke street records. Watch how you talk, I got reflex.
All right, so we took off last week for obvious reasons. We hope everybody out there is safe. It was crazy. Like, it really was crazy. Like, I know we dealt with fires and smoke and stuff a couple years ago. But those were, that was smoke coming in from California. And, it was because of crazy winds that we had smoke at all. This was shit that was actually on our doorstep. And not just our doorstep as people who live in Eugene, Springfield. Like, the entire state. Like, friends in Portland, friends in Salem, friends in, Oregon City, friends down south. Medford actually had fire in Medford proper. Like, this was one of the craziest couple week spans that I can remember, since being alive and being in Oregon. So, I know we, us personally, we helped people, get out of – I know, King, you did. You helped somebody – get out of Dodge last week, and we were doing that for some family members too. I have somebody staying, so my stepdad's sister lost her house up the McKenzie, so she's staying with them right now. It's crazy how much this has affected people in our state. And so we come on here and talk about football and how COVID is affecting football and is college football going to come back. And so all that stuff can still be important to us, and it is, but we got to preface it by saying and starting this off that, our heart goes out to people, and it's not just words. It's these are people that we know in our community, and it really sucks. And if anybody needs anything, I know this is weird to say, for our 15, 20 people listening out there.
24. I checked the metrics.
Okay, thank you. If anybody needs anything, you can find us on Twitter, guys. For real. I know we've been having rain the last few days, so it's starting to get better, but just holler at us, man. We're available.
Even if it's
just emotional support, y'all can call in and be on a Zoom call with us. Right. And do some podcasting with us if you want.
Getting that AQI under 100. Jesus. Was just like, oh my God.
I saw a lot of the GIFs going out of Andy Dufresne.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. GIF.
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 It's graphic interface. Okay. Anyway.
Graphic.
Anyway. Of the Andy Dufresne, Shawshank standing in the rain. That was literally me, dude. It was literally me. I went outside, stood in it. It was still kind of smoky when it first started to rain, and so it still wasn't great to breathe, but fuck, that felt good. As Oregonians, I know we kind of enjoy rain a little bit to begin with, but damn, that was some damn fine rain.
But rewinding, the whole thing was so bizarre because before the fires happened.
Our last podcast, we were literally making fun of the Mapleton one. The guy who actually started one of the fires, we're making fun of that fool.
It didn't age well.
Did you see they came out, he said why he did it.
His girlfriend dumped him?
Yeah, he literally said, I'm going to burn, the forest if she dumps me. She dumped him. Crazy guy. All right, go. Guess he stuck to his word with it, and just
so maybe think he's about that next
he's
time.
He's a man ladies. Of principle, if nothing else.
Yeah, think about that next time, ladies. You want to break up, stay in a toxic relationship so it doesn't ruin things for the rest of us.
But before the whole fire thing happened, I went to the coast for about a week.
Yeah,
came back on Labor Day, spent way too long at In-N-Out, just did it because I had to do it.
Hipster.
Come back home. Got back at like 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. Knew there was some fire warning. Was super tired because I had been gone for like six nights.
Mm-hmm.
Went to bed. Had no clue. I had no idea, like, fire, wind. Like, I sort of knew wind was a thing, but not really. And then I wake up Tuesday morning at 6. And I'm like, way too early because I still have the day off.
Yeah.
What the hell? Wake up at 8 and I'm like, it's really dark. It's
dark, right? Yeah.
What the hell? Kind of roll back around and like 8:30 I get up. I look around and I walk outside and I'm like, okay, there's literally ashes falling. Automatic lights are on.
I can't breathe.
The sky is orange and I'm choking on pleural fluid.
Yeah.
I'm like, I missed something. I missed something. And I get on my phone and I'm like, oh, this isn't good. This is good.
To say the least. I know it's been done in a lot of movies, but it really reminded me of Constantine. Like when Constantine would go to hell, basically. It really felt like that. The color, like the ash falling everywhere. I mean, if you're able to walk in the street during that time, you are literally a demon because nobody else can actually fucking breathe.
And I'm going to preface this by saying, of course, all 10 smoke-shrouded choking days were awful mm-hmm. for us. Even worse for people up the river, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to preface it by saying that.
Yeah.
But like at Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you could at least like get some fire pictures off. Be like, damn, that sky is dope.
Yeah.
It's bad, but whoa, it's a cool backdrop. And then Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it was just depressing and gray. There was it wasn't even a hellish landscape. It was just like, fuck, I feel like I live in North Bend. But it just smells like smoke. This is really depressing.
How about you, Ski? What'd you get up to?
Well, I was supposed to have my 3-4 day fishing trip.
Yeah.
So I went up to Portland on Thursday. Got into Portland. It was there's no smoke in the sky.
Yeah. So I got buddies up in Portland too, and they had no smoke whatsoever. Nothing. Because you look at the fire map, and it was literally right below Portland. Everything below Portland in Oregon was smoke. Portland was fine.
Yeah. So we get up there early, no smoke. Come about 2 p.m, starts creeping in.
Yeah.
You know, I'm waking up at like 4:30 to hit the road to get on the river. I leave. I'm driving, I'm driving past the Dalles there. And, you know, I'm driving through there. I'm like, dude, this isn't good. I mean, the smoke started pushing north and then back east. Get there. Just, you know, it was like back in Eugene on that like first couple days.
Mm-hmm.
Stuck around for about 8 hours left.
You actually fished?
I fished for 8 hours.
Man, hardcore.
Hey, my buddy stuck it out. They stayed there for 3 days.
Do you have one of those gas masks with like the canisters on? That'd be one of the best fishing pictures ever, by the way. Some dude just like fly fishing with a fucking big gas canister mask.
The gas canister on? Oh, yeah.
And a hazmat suit.
It was just that kind of shit that would happen where I leave here, we know it was like, what, 600 AQI or some crazy shit like that. And then that literally all that smoke from down south here just pushed into the Dalles, and you know it was just as bad as Eugene.
Did you catch anything?
I caught one fish in 8 hours, so not like the. I wasn't leaving anything great.
A little crappie, a little bluegill,
a Chinook salmon.
Oh, ooh, yeah.
For the big dog there.
Casual.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice little drop there. By the
way, little keeper, right? A little keeper action.
Oh yeah.
All right. Wasn't a total failure?
No.
I thought I was waiting for you to say something like cancer, King. Did you catch something? Yeah. Like lung cancer?
Well, give it a couple years here. We'll see.
Yeah. Maybe.
Time will tell.
It's too early.
Yeah, right. Too soon.
Too soon.
Yeah. At least we're all going to be in that together.
I guess the last thing about the smoke is
3 million Oregonians.
Just Just think if the Pac-12 tried to force the football season going.
Yeah.
It would have been Ohio State weekend, and that not would have not happened as well.
No. It's funny because we were talking about, you know, I think our highest level in Eugene Springfield was like 450 or something like that with AQI. Might have been a little higher than that. I'm not 100% sure. But like there were places up near like Oregon City that were in the 600s. I had a family member who had to evacuate. Like the house is fine and stuff now, but 650 where their house was. I don't know. Like you can't go outside in 650. You can't. Like, because if you have any sort of lung issue at all at 650, it's like your lungs get black. And so again, we're talking about now. You're bringing up like football, and if you know, even in Eugene at that, I think that Saturday it was like 3 something. It was like 340 or something that day. I remember looking at it, and they're not playing college football in that.
Well,
and then by the way, that same weekend, the next day. 49ers season opener in the Bay in Santa Clara, the sky is orange. Like it is smoky everywhere in the Bay Area. There are fires and they're telling us that the air quality in the Bay is 80 and they go right ahead and play that football game. And
I'm telling you, man,
like we're all just like, what?
The NFL, man, they're playing no matter what. Serpents on the field,
holy shit.
Bombs underneath the field. The NFL plays, man.
You need any more proof that the NFL does not give a fuck about the health of its players? That's it right there. I mean, if the COVID thing wasn't enough, you know, apparently, so they came out with their thing this week about the tests. They've done like thousands of tests and had 2 COVID cases come back or something like that, which is good for them. But then also the Chiefs had some fans in their stadium, and then one of the fans apparently tested positive for COVID.
So did you actually read that press release from the Chiefs?
Mm-mm. No.
Man, I will say this. I know.
I heard about it, though.
So, like, every device we own knows everything about us, right? Our phones, Alexa.
Well, how they found the person, you mean?
Yes, because they're like, we watched you on our 974 cameras. We watched you come in through Section A, and you didn't deviate from Section A. Then you went to the bathroom at 447. You got popcorn. And we contacted the guy you were sitting next to in the urinal. It's like, whoa.
You wore your mask the entire time.
They knew everything about the guy.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yes.
But.
Kind
of creepy.
Yeah.
Let's not get the vaccine because they might try to track us with that.
They will, yeah.
Yeah.
Bill Gates they're tracking chips into us. Yeah.
Amazing.
I didn't know if it was the Chiefs or the Browns, but I love how they had the few fans that they had in there was a fight.
Oh, that was the Browns.
Was that the Browns? The Browns. All right. I was like, that's fitting.
Yeah. Classic. Classic.
And they won.
Yeah.
I mean, the only team I could think that would be a more likely case for that would be Buffalo. But good job, Browns.
Can you imagine how depressed the city of Buffalo is? Where they're gonna, I'm sure they're going to let in fans in Buffalo because it's Buffalo.
Yeah.
But it'll be like 8,000 people.
That's all we got.
And they're just sitting there, you know, it's what, September 19th? Uh-huh. And they're already like, man, it's 26 degrees.
What about Lambeau, by the way? What about Green Bay? Green Bay is like 30 degrees on a warm day. Like 30 people live in the town. This is all we have, guys. This is why we live here.
At least Green Bay fans get to watch, you know, Rodgers from home.
Yeah.
People in Buffalo get to watch Josh Allen.
He's a hot commodity on the fantasy wire.
Yeah, he's the future. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. He's got Stephon Diggs now, man. He's
gonna Jim Leavitt made him verklempt. That's all I'm gonna say.
Stick with fans. Are you guys shocked at all that we see more fans in these college stadiums than we do in the pro stadiums?
It's so gross.
Isn't it unbelievable?
I'm not shocked. No.
So my thing with college football is you have to suspend a lot of morality and belief to enjoy college football and college basketball. You just do because the amateur model. okay, I can put up with the hookers and blow. The non-payment of players is a little weird, but you know, whatever. But the fact that I turn on an NFL game and there's no one there, then I watch some shit Louisiana Tech game. They're like, "Ah, we're letting in 13,000 people." I'm like, why are we allowing Louisiana Tech Bulldogs? What are we doing? What is going on? What are we doing?
Do they really need that $4,000 that bad? It's like, amazing. start a GoFundMe page. You know, people will give money to anything on a GoFundMe page. They'll give money to your football program. If you have supporters who are willing to, you know, go through like a COVID scare sitting next to somebody who's like sneezing on them and who the fuck knows, whatever, then they'll give you $5. You know, you get $5 from 5,000 people. That's a home game. You'll be all right. Shit.
It's just jarring. Because, like, the Thursday game in Cleveland, they literally, like, roped up seats, zip ties. You couldn't sit in them. Why would you be around them? Where college is just like, hey,
welcome in. Sit wherever you want. Please don't sit around more than five people.
And their excuse is like, well, we sold them in pods of six, and that's it. Just 6 to 8. But like we said, generally 6, but more often 8. But just 6 to – okay, it was 8. We just sold them in pods of 8 and put a seat
– put like a seat barrier in between them.
And I don't even want to – and I'm not trying to sound like COVID scared guy. Like, it's very real. I don't want it. But it's – you know, it is what it is. But it's so blatant in college football that they just don't care.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, did you see the pictures of Clemson's seating arrangement? Insanity. It was insane.
At least they, like, colored off the seats. Like, all right, you sit here.
Sure. They're...
Someone was just bad at their job in organizing the seating.
Ski, don't say colored with Clemson. Come on, you can't be that mad.
I might get a Scully from Dabo by saying
But it like, last weekend, since we were off for a while.
Yeah.
You know, in the afternoon, it was Kansas State home game. And there's just an entire
– That was a free-for-all.
It was a free-for-all.
That was a free-for-all.
I mean, everyone's touching, rubbing, no masks. And then 5 hours later, Kansas is on, and there's no fans in the stands, literally none. And I can't tell if that's a COVID thing or just Kansas
football. Kansas football, yeah.
Let's just – weird timeline, parallel universe – the Pac-12 never canceled on August 13th. They're playing right now, right?
Well, what do you mean? They're playing Hawaii right now. What are we talking about?
Would you go to a game masked up with you know, they said we're going to do proper precautions, you know, all this. Would you go to a game today at Autzen?
No. Here's my deal.
If it was separated, good. You know, if it was maybe only two seats next to each other, that's
pods of 16 separated by one seat.
Yeah, that
probably pods of 20. Okay.
Yeah.
Only 16.
Yes.
I wouldn't, because I have already, you know, since March, been saying no to so many things that I don't find saying no to a college football game difficult at this point.
What if it was Ohio State, bro?
I would love to go see Oregon against Ohio State, but it's not worth it for me. Like, yeah. I got my kid, I got my girlfriend's kid, I got my parents, I got her parents, I got other people's parents. Like, it's just not worth it. Like,
well,
I love college football. I will watch it at home and enjoy the fuck out of myself.
I would just say that. Fairly in recent years, I've seen Oregon versus Ohio State twice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't need to see that live.
I don't need to see part three.
I'm good. Done that. Walk of shame. Yeah,
saw them play Ohio State with the best player in the history of the school on their team. That didn't go very well. I don't think this one's going to go much better.
Yeah. Saw like Dane Sansenbacher go for 120 yards receiving. I'm good.
I'm all right. Yeah. All right. By the way, that's a smooth transition. Nice work. We're gonna fit in a couple of trivias this time, because we missed out on the one last week, and we're not missing out on Ohio State trivia. That's not a thing that's gonna happen. Not on my watch. Not on anybody's watch. Let's do it.
We're gonna have a Justin Fields day with this trivia.
Ooh. I think I get that.
Does he play for
Ohio State? I don't get it.
We're gonna have a Ryan Day with this trivia.
It's gonna be a long Ryan Day. All right. I
feel like you're trestling me on these puns.
I have no idea who won 2 weeks ago. Anybody? Do you guys remember?
It doesn't matter.
This is T-ball, man. Fantastic. All right. You know what? With those puns, you get to go first. Which Ohio State wide receiver from the 90s still holds the touchdown catches record with 34 in 3 seasons for the Ohio State University?
Terry Glenn.
Incorrect.
Oh.
Ski, your options. Terry Glenn, Joey Galloway, David Boston.
Oh, my two choices were Galloway and Boston. God damn it. I'm going to go Galloway. I don't think Boston had the numbers.
It is David Boston.
Oh,
David Boston.
By the way, 34 TDs in 3 seasons is quality.
And can I just thank David Boston for catching a late touchdown in the, like, 97 Rose Bowl to cost Arizona State a share of a title? Mm-hmm. Because if Arizona State had a national title before Oregon did in football, I wouldn't be here for this podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
Big ups, David Boston. RIP. Wait, no, he's probably still alive. I don't know.
Oh, he was hitting those roids.
He roided out.
He was hitting those hoard.
He looked like a middle linebacker when he was with the Cardinals.
240-pound receiver.
Yeah.
I just remember David Boston did a lot of, like, studio shoots in the pros, and he was always completely hairless with weird colored contacts, and he always had big snakes on him. Huh. That was his thing.
Huh. Weird guy, man. Steroids do crazy things. I also remember him having one of the best pictures in the history of Sports Illustrated when he caught the touchdown against Charles Woodson and, like, walked backwards into the end zone while yelling in his face. That is one of the most badass things I've ever seen in a football game. Super cool. All right. This is also Ski. Who is the only player in NCAA history to win consecutive Heisman trophies? Played for Ohio State.
Eddie George.
Incorrect. Do you know this off the top of your head, King?
Archie Griffin.
That is correct.
Art.
King, who is the winningest head coach in Ohio State history?
Oh, God. I'm going to say the answer I'm going to say, but it's probably someone named, like, Peach Basket McGee. Like, I'm just going to say Woody Hayes.
That is correct.
Peach Basket.
Nice work. Don't overthink it. Peach Basket McGee was a coach.
And here come the 1914 Buckeyes, led by Peach Basket McGee and Scooter Racer.
They weren't called the Buckeyes back then.
What were they called?
Definitely a racist name. I don't know, come up with something. You're better at this than I am.
I don't know.
I mean, I want
to. Nothing?
We'll
think about it. While
it's Ohio. I don't know.
Think about it while trivia's happening, and then we'll get to it by the end, hopefully. All right, Ski. This Hall of Fame NFL head coach, who coached the Browns until Art Modell fired him, then went on to found and coach the Bengals. He actually started the Bengals organization. Also coached Ohio State to its first national title in 1942. Who is it? By the way, that shows you how old Art Modell was.
I was going to say, just all over the map in Ohio there, Cleveland, Cincinnati.
Yep.
No idea.
All right, you got it?
Keith Baskin McGee.
This is incorrect.
Paul Brown?
That is correct.
You're from Ohio, Ski.
Come on, Ski.
You've been to Cleveland.
Sorry, man. You know what? Seeing how this one's going so far, we got another trivia later, so you might be able to make up for it. Ohio State might not be your thing.
He founded the Browns, Ski. He started the Browns.
I'm just jaded. Jaded about
Cleveland. All right,
Kate. That Ravens, the Browns going to Baltimore, that just, cemented everything. I just
killed it for you.
Everything.
Ray Lewis murdering people.
Yep.
Yep. Sorry, man.
Skirt back behind center.
Right. God. That really did it for me. I know.
Tony Banks.
King. Ohio State has 8 national titles. How many did Jim Tressel win?
1.
Yes, that is correct.
Holy Buckeye! And it should have been 0. There was not pass interference on Miami.
Woody Hayes won 5. Urban Meyer and Paul Brown also had 1. Tressel also won 4 1AA titles at Youngstown.
Can we just make a weird statement that, again, parallel tracks, parallel universe?
Mm-hmm.
If Oregon beats Ohio State, right? It was a 2-point game, like going into the fourth. I get it. They got their doors blown off in the fourth. Get it. If Oregon beat Ohio State in that national 2015 college football playoff, is Urban Meyer's tenure at Ohio State a failure?
Ooh, no national title.
Is his tenure a failure? Because he would have been like 79-3 with no titles.
With no titles.
Somehow no titles.
Incredible.
What?
By the way, currently in my possession is an Ohio State National Championship sweatshirt.
Ooh, that's a good one.
My family over there finds it entertaining to send me in Ohio State as well.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I would legit wear that around town. I don't give a fuck. That's amazing. All right, Ski. What is the name of Ohio State's mascot?
Brutus Buckeye.
That is correct.
All right.
On the board.
You can put him on the board.
Yes.
Yes.
King, Woody Hayes hated Michigan so much, he refused to even say the word Michigan. What did he refer to them as?
School up north. School down south.
That team up north.
No!
That is incorrect. Sorry, buddy. Good job. Good effort. That's a damn shame.
Oh, boy. That's a tough one.
Let's see. So this one is – wait. Did I even – I don't think I even let Ski guess that one.
You did not. You did not. Which is good, because I was so close on it. My bad.
You would have definitely got it. You know what? I should give that to him, because he would have definitely got it.
It's not the school down north. It's either the team up north, the Dragons up north.
My question is, did Woody Hayes say that King said? No, he didn't.
He did not.
That's incorrect.
That's impossible. So here were the three options, though. The blue team, West Detroit school, or that team? I think we can give that to him.
I think I was getting that. I would have said the West Detroit team, because that's hilarious.
That's me. All right, it's to Ski. Still Ski, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Ohio State Stadium is famously nicknamed the Horseshoe because it's shaped like a shoe. Genius. What is the actual name of the stadium?
I feel like I should know that. I got nothing.
Take a guess.
I got nothing. Throw me I literally a got guess. Nothing.
A guess.
Depression Stadium. I don't know. That's
not close. I will give you the synonym to Depression Stadium. Ohio Stadium.
Oh, there it is. I mean, I was essentially correct.
you were.
That is so good. That is so good. It's like we fucking planned that. Oh, man. All right, I got a few more extra ones here. Who has the record for career total offense at Ohio State?
Eddie George.
Terrell Pryor.
He's a quarterback.
Terrell Pryor.
JT.
Oh, Barrett. No. I was going to say it was, yeah, yeah, God.
Let's see.
Somehow, like, Dwayne Haskins had, like, 5,000 in his one season there.
This is just some trivia. I'm not going to ask the full question. But apparently the first school to do Script Ohio, which is their famous thing the band does, was Michigan. Like, they stole Script Ohio from Michigan in a game in 1932.
That's school up north.
Isn't that crazy?
West Side Detroit.
So it was like Script Ohio was adopted in 1936. According to Ohio State archives, they weren't the first school to perform it. In a game Ohio State won 7-0 in 1932, Michigan performed it first. And then they were like, this is cool. We should do that.
Have you guys ever seen the videos of the Ohio State band doing like the big theme thing?
Oh yeah, the Nintendo stuff.
Yeah, or movies.
Or whatever.
They morph from Superman to Jurassic Park to Titanic. Yeah. It's pretty great.
It's awesome.
And all we do here at Oregon is play Louie Louie.
The same damn songs. And that and that song by the Child Molester, whatever that one is.
Gary Glitter song.
Gary Glitter song, yeah.
Hey, is that right?
Hey, yeah. Fantastic tradition. A tradition unlike any other.
And I feel like they wear sweats.
Definitely sweats. Like,
Oregon's band, man. They got to look, when they go to big bowls, they got to look around and be like, these people are all so fancy and we're wearing sweatpants. We're comfortable, but what the hell?
No, they're like the onesie PJs or whatever you get for your kid.
Yeah, they're bad.
They're not great. Ohio State added permanent lights to their stadium in 2014. Before then, they didn't have a lot of night games. In fact, they only played multiple night games at home against four schools: Penn State, Nebraska, Wisconsin, and this Pac-12 school.
USC.
Washington.
No.
They are 2-0 against Washington. Let's see. Beat them in 93 in their second ever night game in the stadium, and then also in 85. All right, that's enough Ohio State trivia and talking about Ohio State.
Didn't Matt Barkley walk into Ohio Stadium and beat him?
Mert Berkley?
Yeah, I feel like that was a thing. Maybe I'm wrong.
Legend spelled with a 7?
He's back, baby.
Yeah.
Back!
So that kind of transitions us into talking about the Big Ten, which came out with their schedule today. Was it today or yesterday?
It was today.
Yeah. Yep. Nice schedule release on a Saturday, by the way. 8 games. They finished their season just in time for the playoff voting. So they're hoping their 8 games is going to be enough for, you know, at least Ohio State to get in there, which it probably will be. I mean, Ohio State wins all their games against their conference opponents who are ranked, you know, like I think they have 6 or 7 teams that were in the preseason rankings. And so if you win all those games against the teams you play, I don't know if they're playing all of them. I haven't actually looked at their schedule. You can absolutely still get in the playoff. And their season starts on the 24th of next month. So they're going to have, I mean, I assume once the news dropped that they were actually going to play, I assumed they got everybody back together and they've been practicing for a few days. And so that gives them a little over a month.
A lot of Big Ten schools were practicing even before.
They were still practicing. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So here's the thing, though, with this is, you know, they're expecting to get, you know, make it in time for the playoffs. I don't, what the fuck's NCAA doing right now? Because right now they have a whole separate top 25, mm-hmm. you know, with no Pac-12, no Big Ten in it. And on top of that, you have teams, some teams have played like 3 games already. And there's a lot of teams that haven't played a single game yet. It's like, how are they going to?
And they're not going to play a game until like 5 weeks from now.
Exactly. So how are they expecting to, are they just going to toss, you know, just pick the 4 biggest schools? Be like, all right, you guys, you were in the playoffs here? All right, is that it?
Pretty much, yeah. I think so.
It's not going to go on polling or any of that shit. It's got to just be.
Here's what they're going to do. It doesn't matter what the record is. They're going to go Alabama,
Clemson. They're going to go by the preseason ranking.
Ohio State, Oklahoma. Because, and they're going to go, well, eye test. Yeah, I get it. Alabama's only 3-1. There was a big outbreak in the month of October. But just the eye test tells me that 3-1 Alabama should be in.
3-1. Somebody's going to say that into a television camera.
They 100% will.
Kirk Herbstreit's going to go in front of a television camera.
It wasn't fair that COVID knocked out their receiving core. I know Florida's 3-2, and it's only 5 games, and Oklahoma played 9, but the eye test tells me the 3-2 Gators deserve to be in.
These kids were tough enough to go out there and risk it. They showed the gumption to get in there, risk COVID. You know, they got COVID. You know, stuff happens. But should they be punished for being brave and getting field and playing the game they love?
You know, it just is what it is. The SEC went through. They got myocarditis. Their life is shortened by 10 years. How can we not put 3-4 Vanderbilt in the number 4 spot?
Exactly. You need to reward that sort of dedication. You don't punish it. Who cares if they only played 4?
I know Georgia hasn't played in 6 weeks, but the 1-0 Bulldogs by the eye test tell me they got to be number 3.
We'll save this for like
do they get the edge over like an 8-0 team from the ACC or something? By the way, Florida State, like Mike Norvell said, he has COVID. Well, that's not ideal. Out of all the people, you get the coach with COVID. Fantastic.
They're canceled their game for next week. But should a team cancel a game because the coach is out?
I don't think they canceled. Did they? They had a week
he's
off.
He's just
right?
out. He's just out.
Oh, he's just out. All right.
Yeah. They had a week off. Yeah.
What I don't understand about that is, how does the head coach have COVID?
Yeah.
And they do contact tracing and no one else in the program.
The one guy everyone.
I'm just saying. Yeah, the one guy that has his fingers on everything.
Literally.
Spread it to anyone.
Literally, yeah.
Just saying. A little weird.
Yeah, that like I know the listeners can't see this, but I just threw my bullshit flag. There's no fucking way. But whatever.
Hey, at least
they're using that bye week as a significant buffer for this news drop that's probably going to come in the next couple of days.
I will say that
players have COVID.
Even in this very wacky year where teams are going to get dumped and not play and whatever, the one school in the entire sport that I feel confident in saying that doesn't have to worry about playing in the college football playoff, Florida State.
Yes.
Dead program. Done.
Oh.
Yeah.
They can't do anything right.
Yep.
Flick Willie sent that ship down to the bottom of the ocean.
My God. He decimated them. It's so crazy. It's so crazy the difference, like looking at Oregon now and then looking at the other schools he's left, like just the stark difference. Like, thank God for Oregon that he hired the people that he did. And that they didn't go with Levitt, by the way, because they were really close to going with Levitt. Ugh. Oh, my God. Ooh. Bullet dodged. Many bullets dodged. Holy shit.
I'll crack a Pepsi to that.
Let's go Pepsi. All right, y'all have a good one. He would come into press conferences, say like 3 things, and then leave. It'd be like a total of 45 seconds. Unbelievable. All right, by the way, we should probably talk about the Ducks and Pac-12 football, because the Pac-12 had a meeting on Friday, and where a lot of people expected them to at least do something in regards to football, because the Big Ten just had announced that they're going to come back. And so the Pac-12, kind of the last major conference left out right now, was, you know, we saw they were getting together. So it's like, hey, okay, well then vote on it. Talk about it. Vote on it. Then maybe, you know, have a season or don't have a season, whatever. You've talked about it. You voted on it with enough time to where you could actually get a season in time for a possible playoff or whatever, like the Big Ten just did. And then they said they're not going to – they didn't vote. They didn't do it. And they said they're going to meet again on Thursday and actually, like, take a vote and actually talk about it, I think. But next Thursday, if we're talking about, you know, them needing – so what the Big Ten did is they're starting the season on the 24th. of next month, and that gives them enough time to get in 8 games and to get it in time for a possible college football playoff situation. So if you're meeting next week as the Pac-12, you're limiting yourself a great deal. Like, if you're going to try to start by the 24th, you're
going to
you're going to have to hope nothing happens with any of your schools. And if you're going to do that, then you're talking about like 3.5 weeks to get ready for a football season. And those teams have not been practicing the whole time like the Big Ten has. I think Cristobal went on Canzano and said he needed like 5 weeks or something to fully get ready for a season, which fall camp is a month. It's a little over a month in general. And so if you're cutting that short at all, then it's a safety issue. Because you're bringing kids back who haven't been working out together, haven't been practicing together, and now you're expecting them to actually try to put together a season?
But I think that's where the rub is mm-hmm. because the California schools and the Oregon schools,
yeah.
I believe, are the only schools in the league that aren't together and working out right now.
Because of the orders from the governors.
Right. So right. So from what I was kind of reading today is that for tonight, actually, fairly recently, John Wilner, I think he said the 31st is what they yeah. think they're going to start on now. UCLA and maybe Stanford, the only two that were kind of waffling.
Mm-hmm.
Stanford will do it. They think it's a bad idea, but they'll do it. And UCLA is saying it's not enough time. But it sounds like every other school is on board with – because all the Oregon kids come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oregon State. They got to be back.
Yeah, and Cristobal said that he actually, like, the team was, like, on an order to come back anyways. Like, this was last week.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, they got to come back for school. They got to, you know, they got to – we're going to have them work out anyways just because we want them around, basically. And then now,
so,
if you're going to have a season, they're going to be ready for it.
So kind of on that front that – Let's just make it generic because we know the Oregon schools are doing it, and I know SC is doing it, and I think Cal.
Yeah.
So then by Monday, I'm kind of exaggerating a little, but go with me. Every Pac-12 school will have all their players in town, in theory, right? Mm-hmm. So the clock starts there mm-hmm. on workouts. Mm-hmm. So even if they don't actually vote to start until next Thursday – the clock on practicing has already kind of started to where it looks weird for PR, and there's going to be a lot of fire tweets going out there like, why are you wasting the time? Why are you wasting the time? But logistically, the clock kind of does start tomorrow.
Right.
Because, you know,
you get that Oregon, extra
Monday.
They got to come back, and they got to go into quarantine right away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it really doesn't matter if they announce tomorrow that they're starting. These kids still got to come back, get into quarantine, do their thing. So,
mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, I did see the Halloween start as well.
That sounds like what it's going to be.
Yeah, it sounds right. And there has been talk online about the Duck players who have declared for the NFL as well. Because obviously, in general, if you hire an agent and declare for the draft, then you are out. You have lost your eligibility. And there is talk that they might be allowed to actually play now. Despite that, like, so I don't see Sewell coming back because I don't see why he would.
No chance.
He's probably going to be the first pick in the draft. So why would
dominant
left tackle?
He'll be three. They always overreach for quarterbacks. It'll be Lawrence Fields.
Fields. Yeah.
We'll see. I think people think highly enough of Sewell to where he's like a generational type of left tackle.
Oh, it's certainly possible.
Yeah.
Someone going to trade
him. He's probably the best player. I bet you this is how that goes before we get back.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence.
He'll be the best player in the draft, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll go, but if you're the Detroit Lions, can you really pass up on, you know,
he's a generational quarterback. You don't come around those very often. Trevor Lawrence, are you kidding me? So the door might actually be open. Like there have been discussions apparently about, you know, because Holland is basically the only defensive back for the Ducks who hasn't declared, right? Because it was Graham and Lenore, and I guess, you know, Nick Pickett maybe, but Nick Pickett's He's really good on Twitter. He's not that good on the field.
Easy.
He's great. I didn't say he's just not NFL. What?
That's fair. No, that's fair.
Thank you.
Kind of on that note, I read an article like a week ago where they were talking about how, well, and Brady Breeze hasn't committed to the draft yet. I'm like, well, let's
You mean that guy who had four really good weeks last year?
It's great that he's getting his degree. Like he's a good college player, but really let's not make him opt out NFL guy.
He's got a lot of John Boyette in him.
But if they come back, less
cocaine and alcohol, I think.
Let's say on Monday morning, just to make it, you know, whatever, somewhat realistic. Monday morning, you wake up and they say October 31st, Pac-12 is back. Here's the schedule. Bang. Are you excited?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think they should do it. I still don't think they should play. I don't think any of these colleges should be playing. But are you asking me if I want to watch Oregon play football? Yeah.
Are you – you wake up Monday morning. Pac-12 is back. Here's the schedule. Bang. You're excited. Are you confident they play more than, like, five games?
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah? Because that's the rapid testing?
Because I think especially with colleges. Yeah, so what they have is those, like, quick tests now. So they take, like, 15 minutes or something like that. But I think with the – whereas, you know, the NFL is kind of limited in roster, so we're kind of scoffing at the NFL. I think college, because they have, like, 100 kids on their rosters or whatever, I think they can pull it off. The problem is what we're talking about with like the ACC schools right now, where you have entire position groups who hang out and get, if one kid gets COVID, then the entire position group is done. And that would screw over a team. There's nothing you can really do about that.
Was it the SEC that came out with like guidelines for like the amount of play? Like you had
they're
to have
not guidelines.
No, they're not. But it was like,
it's a specific amount. Yeah.
You need five offensive lineman, you know, I think as well it was. Why I think it was just one quarterback.
But it was hilarious.
And then you got Chris Harper situation.
And it was a total of 53 players. Yeah. So it was a total of 53 players and those limitations. And did you read the fine print?
I did not read the fine print on it.
SEC schools can be below the threshold of 53 total players or below the threshold of one offensive lineman. And if that school still wants to play,
they can do it.
They can do it.
What? One offensive lineman?
Why not? Let's do it. Let's get weird.
Well, it might be a nice handicap for like Alabama versus Vandy.
It would be.
Vandy Nation.
So have we turned
program history?
I think it's weird the college is playing. I said that earlier. I just think it's greasy and weird, and they're amateurs, and they don't have a union, and it's not collectively bargained. I think it's all very weird. But if we turn the corner on excitement.
Oh, no. No. In terms of college football right now, I was thinking about that really as we were starting. I'm finding it really hard to give a shit.
I just mean like once the Pac-12 announces, will you turn the corner on excitement? Because I haven't watched – technically, this is the fourth week. I've watched maybe an hour total. All the games have been bad.
I watched some of Miami and Louisville today. That was the only even half interesting game that has happened so far. The rest of them have been horrible, horrible football games. Like just impossible football games to watch.
I just thought it was so funny that after after week two, maybe I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. But it was – and it's changed because they've dropped Pac-12, Big Ten teams out. Zero and zero teams are ranked number two in the nation. It's weird. But, like, as of 2 weeks ago, there were no ranked team versus ranked team games until, like, October 4th.
Yeah.
And now there are now, like, you know, Louisville and Miami was 17 versus 18. Whatever.
Yeah.
Louisville is not going to be a ranked team at the end of the year, but they are now.
When does the SEC start?
Next week.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's when it's actually going to ramp up, by the way. Like, it doesn't really get real for college football until the SEC starts. I mean, even as Pac-12 people, I think we can all admit that.
You excited for that Alabama-Mizzou game?
Fuck no.
Yeah. Are you excited for that LSU-Arkansas tilt?
I'm not excited for any SEC football game. I don't like – honestly, that's it. Honestly, that's it. CBS, the fucking place I used to work for, I hate their college football coverage. Hate it so much. Does Brando still do games?
I think he's Fox now.
And like Donaldson or whatever?
Yeah.
They're fucking trash. Ugh. The worst. The absolute worst.
Well, the funny thing about you talking about like the schedules, you see like the Big Ten when they came out with their schedule, mm-hmm. Bill Moose, like,
yeah,
was livid and like complaining about it because he like didn't like this. Made this whole stink like we gotta play. We're gonna play.
We're gonna sue you.
Like, all right, we're playing. Here's the schedule. Like, all right, I'm gonna complain about it now after they finally did everything. Fucking just hilarious. Classic Nebraska right there.
Classic Nebraska.
So it was funny that the school that whined and pissed the most. Yeah. Have fun at Ohio State.
Yeah.
At Ohio Stadium.
Yeah, right. Jesus.
But against those guys west of Akron.
That school down south.
Oh, we really gotta figure out our directions on this podcast. All right, so I guess we're gonna record probably on Thursday this week, so by then we'll know what the Pac-12 is actually gonna do. And so we'll see. We'll see if the Ducks are going to have a season this year. And by the way, that is the biggest question is for me, is what is going to happen with Lenore, Graham, and Sewell. I think Sewell's gone, but I legitimately think Thomas Graham and Diamandour Lenore need another season.
And so, I think they'll come back. I think they will too.
Yeah.
Who do you want to play in the cross division game? South division team.
Give me SC all day.
Really? Because there's danger there. You beat them in the regular season. You beat them in the
Pac-12. I see what you're saying. Okay. Do you want Utah at all?
ASU? You hope you beat ASU? ASU only loses to USC. You beat USC in the Pac-12 championship?
It's always
that. I don't think Utah is going to be contending for the South this year. Got to go. I think, that's the ticket there.
That's what you'd think.
Would think that, wouldn't you? No, but to get in this so-called, playoffs, which, whatever metric they're going to use, you got to have something on paper to, like, show to them. Be like, hey, look at this. We beat these guys. Who beat these guys?
Yeah, that's going to be the problem in the Pac-12, by the way. You better win all your games, all 8 of them. If you're not winning all your games, you're not getting in.
Good news is we're not going to have some really bad out-of-conference losses for the conference.
I guess it would be 9 games then. Unless they just decide to not have a championship game.
I don't know if they said they're going to have it.
I think if I read the plan right, is they're going to kind of steal that the Big Ten model. The Pac-12 championship, and then 2 will play 2. 3 will play 3.
Yeah.
God damn, we got to watch Colorado play Oregon State.
Yeah, the bottom dwellers. Oh, that's going to be such good football. Oh, man. I'm actually kind of excited for that. Like the two worst teams. How many times do you see the two worst teams play each other?
But, I mean, I've said this since the beginning for all sports.
By the way, when you know they're the two worst teams, you have records to prove they're the two worst teams, and then boom, let's go.
I'm all for it. Just because this whole year, give me everything wacky you can do.
Yeah, yeah.
In all sports. Don't care. Just I don't know how to take any of it. It's just all weird to me.
Yeah.
So give me bouncy balls and weird – and just give me weird shit. That's all I ask for.
So gimmicky. All right. You guys have anything else on the maybe NFL? My Niners – our own one. They have everybody on their team injured right now. I'm not feeling great. So in terms of the NFL, I'm just like, okay, your Chiefs are doing okay.
I'm feeling pretty good about the NFL because my team is the past, the present, and the future of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome for helping you begin that.
I think they're 9.5-point favorites tomorrow.
Last year's Super Bowl.
Which seems high, because usually when they play in L.A., you know, all 2 years or whatever.
That's a high number for the NFL, period.
Now it's pretty neutral. There's no one there. Yeah. Usually those games in Carson are a home game for the Chiefs.
Hronus Grasu is the Niners' starting center, by the way.
I will say that tomorrow will be the first day where they start going, should the Chargers bench Tyrod and start the future with Justin Herbert?
Saying that already last
week. That'll be the future. That'll be coming. It won't happen in week three.
No.
But by like week five,
It'll be
the harbinger.
Well, once they're 0-4, you might as well.
And
I don't think they do that. I think they go 0-3. That's when you make the move.
No, yeah. I don't even think they're going to make it when they're 0-3. It's just going to start tomorrow.
Wow.
Because now it's
you not. You think they leave Taylor at 0-3?
Well, they should. I mean, you want Herbert to get murdered in a week four game when you're 0-3?
The thing with Taylor, and I'm not even that high on Herbert's NFL prospects. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a tough position. I don't know. Tyrod Taylor is. Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was a stopgap from the get-go.
He's missionary with a condom on and the lights on. Like, yeah.
His whole career is stopgap.
It's just safe. There's no risks. It's fine, but there's no risk. There's no big wins. He doesn't make bad plays. I mean, he keeps every thrust in, but he's not going to make any big plays. It's just kind of okay.
By the way, that's the really cool thing about Ryan Fitzpatrick is his whole career was supposed to be a stopgap, and then he somehow turned it into like a big contract.
Oh, he's great.
He's starting quarterback right now.
There's another 0-3 start before you see Tua probably.
Yeah.
If they lose tomorrow, you're going to, like, just like Herbert, you're going to hear the talks start chirping in.
Like, that's what he is, though. He's a stopgap quarterback, but somehow he's getting paid like a motherfucker.
Every third week he throws for 5 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And he still has the biggest beard in the history of quarterbacks in the NFL.
It is a big
beard. I was trying to think who else had one. Fouts had a big one back in the day. Back in the day, that was like way before our time. But
Roethlisberger's had some big ones.
Yeah. Roethlisberger always looks like he's coming off a bender. Or he's literally just woke up on the street. Like he fell asleep on some cardboard and then got up and went and played a football game.
November,
crazy, guys. I don't even know where I woke up. Who are we playing? Black 59 Razor! Black 59 Razor!
November and December, Roth.
Stop yelling so loud. Fuck.
He's rough. He's a rough luck.
Well, while we're still in the NFL, how did your fantasy team do, King?
I won!
Hey.
I did too.
At worst, I can match my 1-13 record from last year. So.
Nice.
You know, I think I'm good, except I didn't realize how bad Drew Brees was.
Bad.
So he's bad.
Michael Thomas got hurt. That hurts.
Yeah, but
he's old. I mean, it's expected.
So what's the leash on Tom Brady, boys? I love the idea that people thought Gronk was going to be good, by the way.
He looked really old last week.
He is really old and broken.
He's probably like 29.
NFL old is a very different
yes, it is.
Brand of old.
Yes.
All right. NFL, we're going into week 2 tomorrow. And it feels like we're in week 7. And I'm exhausted. As a Niner fan, I'm exhausted.
Last thing before we leave the NFL talk. So for the last couple of years, I've just been doing illegal Reddit streams for Red Zone and Sunday Ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And I find out on like the 4th of this month that the feds came in like,
no. You don't.
I had to buy Red Zone.
What? Well, money bags over here.
No, I'm like, Jesus. $9 a month. My God. December 31st, auto cancel that package. Good grief. It hurts. It hurts.
By the way, anybody listening out there, sportsurge.net.
Okay.
You can watch football, basketball, all of it. I've been watching NBA playoffs on that. Watched the Niner game last week on that.
I really struggled finding finding streams last week.
I thought there's always someone's always got something up on like Periscope or something.
Yeah,
I can't do that
for me with the Blazer game.
The Periscope ones are hard.
They are tough. All right, so let's roll out of here. Before we go, we got the list to do. That was given to us by a listener, Sam. Gave us a list a few weeks ago too. It is our three worst media members. So like our most hated sports.
Easiest list ever.
Our most hated sports media members. This is pretty simple.
Yes. I have a feeling all three might have the same.
Oh, and I think one of mine's going to be different than yours.
Think so?
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
My number three, I thought it was a slam dunk, is Jason Whitlock.
Yeah. No brainer. We don't even have to describe it, really, do we? I mean, and none of these people we have to describe, really.
Not really, no. Yeah.
All right.
My number three?
Yeah, go ahead.
Jason Whitlock.
all right, well, here's – I'm going to throw in something here, and I'll see what you guys think about this. Jordan Kent.
Oh, no, no. He's too new at it. He's too new.
He's a wonderful man. He's a too wonderful
new. I'm gonna throw the flag.
The Blazers have him doing play-by-play.
He was a pinch hitter. Kevin Clavro quit.
I don't like it. He's been hosting since day one. He's yes. not there.
Kevin quit Labro.
I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. Every time he's on, I change the channel. I don't like his voice.
If Kent was doing the color instead of the play-by-play,
he'd be fine.
I mean, he's not bad there, but he tries to chime in too many what he thinks is witty things.
Yes.
Doesn't land as a play-by-play guy.
Yes.
The color guy could get away with that.
Yes.
But when you have him and Bird doing the same thing,
Sounds like he's trying too hard. That's the thing. Like, Calabro is a seasoned pro, and he could do those lines, and they sounded natural. But, like, Kent's coming out with these lines, and I'm just like, dude, stop it. Stop it.
Hot take?
Yeah.
Kevin Calabro with the Blazers wasn't good.
Mm.
Oh, Damian Lillard, you're insane!
It did feel like he was trying to match Wheeler a little bit. Because Wheeler's the best we're probably ever going to hear. And he is unmatched. And I think Calabro had his long career, obviously, but I think he was trying to match that energy a little bit too much.
I just found,
here's a question.
Off-putting the fact that he was like a Blazers announcer for like 4 years and just helicoptered into Portland on game nights and then helicoptered back up to Seattle.
Right.
Little off-putting. I'm just going to be honest.
It is kind of weird.
I know that. And it's not even the rich person thing. It's, hey man, fucking commit to the city.
Yeah. Anyway, who's your two?
There's no way they're going to keep Kent, right? They're going to have to go out and hire someone, right?
In this economy?
Yeah. In Obama's economy? Biden's economy? All right, who's your two?
Well, you should be saying in Harris's economy, right?
I mean, yeah.
Soros'
Kamala,
economy.
Kamala.
Who's the actual
Kamala?
President? Right?
Kamala. Oh, boy.
All right. So my number two, another simple slam dunk, Clay Travis.
Yeah.
Again, I need to say nothing about it, too.
The sports guy who had the president on his show recently, the Stick to Sports president, had him on his sports show. Anyway.
My number two?
Yeah.
David Portnoy.
Sick, yes.
I like that a lot.
And I am not without sin.
Yeah.
I was an adopter of Barstool in like 2005 on the wings of old Ski here. Mm-hmm. But he was like 33 in 2005.
Yeah.
He has aged out of being like, huh, tits. Mm-hmm. It's unbecoming. And he's kind of racist, but And sexist and probably homophobic and Islamophobic.
But, what does Barstool do now?
Everything.
Everything now.
Everything.
I don't like when I think of Barstool, I can't pinpoint anything. It used to be PFT commenter. Like
I don't even think they really blog anymore.
Yeah. You say everything, but I can't think of one thing.
Oh, their podcast network. Gambling.
Sets to do things. Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, they. But
where do you consume those things?
Everywhere.
Yeah, like I don't know anybody who does.
Well, because we live on the West Coast.
Right.
Like, our sensibilities are a little different than his out in Boston.
All right, my number two is Skip Bayless. All right.
Oh, my number one is Skip Bayless.
Okay.
My number one, Clay Travis. I mean, like he said 200. I'll never forget that sports guy in like March was like, listen, by my computations, only 234 Americans are going to die from COVID.
First of all, why are you trying to come up with that number? Second of all, where are you getting that number? Like, so one, don't try to think about that because you're way out of your element. And then two, don't come up with that number because that's you were basically at that number when you said that. Like, what are you doing? God, he's such a joke, man. But no, but like that's the thing. Like that's my two and one. It's Skip Bayless and Clay Travis. They're playing characters. Like they're like Fox News hosts. You know, they're playing a part. You know, they're reading scripts. They're doing things that are set for them to do.
Skip is just the contrarian on, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's his thing. See, Skip is playing a bit, 100%. Clay is a grift. And I think Clay probably is a bad person. But from what you hear from everyone about Skip Bayless, is really he's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
I don't think Clay Travis is a nice guy.
I put Skip 1 because I think Skip is the bigger figure of the two in the sports world.
He is.
And especially when he came out and said that stuff about Dak. I mean, at his level of – I mean, that's fucking bad. I mean, I'd never listen to Clay Travis. I don't even know where you do listen to Clay Travis.
Same.
Yeah. I see fucking Skip Bayless every day of my life on my feed, seeing on TV. I mean, he's out there for everyone.
Skip! What are you talking about, Skip? What are you talking about, Skip?
Oh, man.
No, it is a funny thing that, you know, like 25 years ago, Skip Bayless wrote a book and basically insinuated that Troy Aikman was, you know, in the closet gay. Could never get away with that now.
Holy shit.
Never.
But, and by the way, on that note, remember when T.O. did that about Jeff Garcia?
I do.
And then the Niners got rid of Jeff Garcia instead of T.O.?
Well, and now Markey just can't have a gay quarterback.
Oh, my God. And by the way, a gay quarterback was married to a playmate at the time.
I know.
Like, what?
Was someone fucking his wife?
Who? Garcia?
Garcia's was another. I'm probably just making up in my mind, but I don't know why, but it sounds like it happened.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
I think you're thinking of Brent Berry.
Speaking of which, by the way, during that era, you know who the 49ers running back was? Frank Gore. You know who their running back is, who they're facing this week against the Jets?
Frank Gore.
Gore is the starting running back of the Jets this week.
So his kid.
You know who was starting tonight for Southern Miss?
Frank Gore. God.
He might Ken Griffey Sr. this. I don't know if Frank Gore Jr. is good enough to get to the show.
Oh, I want to see that
Frank
so bad.
Frank Gore might still be in the league in 3 years to give it a chance.
It's just sign him to a practice squad just for the hell of it.
They have a first ever where father-son score a touchdown in a game.
That would be the most incredible thing in sports history, probably.
On that note,
yeah.
A couple weeks ago, I saw something on Twitter. I remember Noel Devine.
Yeah.
West Virginia running back. Yeah. He was on recruiting trips with his kids. Kids multiple trying on college uniforms. And I was like, he's got multiple kids on recruiting trips. And he looks better in the uniforms than they do.
How old is he?
He had like 4 kids in high school.
Even then, he didn't play that long ago, did he?
We're talking like when he was 15, he was popping them out.
Oh my God.
Well, we're going to see Cromartie's kids fielding a fucking team here in like another 5 years. I mean, there's a possibility of that.
God.
The entire secondary is Cromartie.
Good for them.
Not only does he have good genes, he can get them off. Genes, that is.
Okay. No, we got it. We got it. Thank you. Yeah.
When I said genes, that is, you know what popped into my head? That show from the 90s, Hey Dude.
Hey Dude!
I don't know why. I don't know why. Hey Dude.
With
a horseshoe.
Ben Stiller's ex-wife was on it.
Christina Taylor.
Yeah.
She was Marcia, right? In the Brady Bunch, right?
No.
No, the Brady Bunch movie?
Yeah.
I think she was.
The movie, the movie.
Yeah, I was like...
Yeah, what is she, like 80?
I don't know if she was born yet.
All right, so one of the biggest tragedies of Oregon not having the season they were supposed to have is that this week, tonight, when we're recording this, they were supposed to play my Bows. And now, I don't know... I honestly don't know who I would root for. Cause I love my Rainbow Warriors so much. But I don't know.
I mean, luckily
I'll never be faced with that dilemma, right?
When I think of the 808, there is no face that pops up quicker than the the white red-headed face.
In mine?
Of Alex. There's no face. Man. You are the face of Oahu. And when I say Oahu and secretly you're judging me for not saying Oahu or something because you are the face of the 808.
Hawaii.
E-E.
Get it right, Howley.
You put that apostrophe between the eyes, yeah. Don't you?
Hey, brother. Get it right, Howley.
How's it?
It's okay. This racism is okay because I dated someone from Hawaii for a couple of years. That's how that works, right?
I've been to Hawaii.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, we're good. All right, so we're doing Hawaii trivia. King, you obviously won the Ohio State trivia earlier.
Well,
Spice tea. What? I mean, all right.
Which is more teeth than most Buckeye fans have.
I was going to say.
Nice. Well done. All right, so King, you get to start this bad boy off. Who is the current head football coach of my Bows?
Bye, Paul Graham, Ted Graham. Oh. I know his name is Graham. I can't remember his name.
Nope.
I know his last name is Graham. Give me one more guess.
No, you missed it. Ski. Your options, Nick Rolovich, Jesse Sapolu, Todd Graham.
Oh, Todd Graham.
Todd Graham.
With his boy band microphone.
Yep. It's a damn microphone. Blame Britney Spears. So let's see. Ski, yep. Hawaii joined the Mountain West in 2012. Which conference were they in before the Mountain West?
The WAC?
Yes, they were.
Oh, super boy. Steam.
This is whole like the opposite.
I'm out of the state of Ohio. Things are rolling.
My, how things have turned. All right, King. The story of the name Rainbows apparently dates back to 1923.
I get this one. I think it's whack.
I haven't even gotten there yet. You also messed up Todd Graham, so shut the fuck up. When the then Hawaii Deans beat this Pacific Coast Conference, now the Pac-12, team in the final game of the season 7-0. During the game, there was a rainbow over the field, so people started calling them the Rainbows, and they eventually changed the name. Which Pacific Coast Conference team was it?
The Oregon Webfoots.
Incorrect. Ski, your options. Washington, Idaho, or Oregon Agricultural College?
I mean, I know it's probably not the correct answer, but the Huskies losing sounds right. So we're
1923.
Yeah, at any time, them losing.
It was Oregon Agricultural College, Oregon State University. That is the game that gave them the Rainbow's name. By the way, Idaho was in the original Pac-8, oddly enough.
Go Vandals.
Yep. All right.
Grandpa was a quarterback for Idaho.
Your grandpa was?
Yeah, true story.
How about that?
Yeah, go Vandals.
Give him a shout out. Like, how many was he? How long was he there?
He started for a couple years, but this is when, like,
yeah,
they threw like 9 passes a year.
Right, right.
But
student body left, student body right. Sometimes
when I was in high school, I saw a yearbook from when he went to Idaho.
Yeah.
And the official school yearbook called him the Little Indian Boy because he was Native American.
What year was this?
I mean, 60s?
60s? I mean, not that long ago.
That's not great for the 60s either.
Idaho. I mean, it was Idaho.
Ooh, oh, boy.
He didn't seem to mind. He didn't say anything of it. I just read it and was like, oh, little Indian boy. That feels a little, feels a little racial.
Oof. So this is Ski, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So who was the first player to be named a Heisman finalist for Hawaii?
Timmy Chang.
Incorrect. Your options, King. Timmy Chang, Colt Brennan, Devon Bess.
Colt Brennan.
That's correct.
Good old Colt Brennan.
With his bleach blonde hair.
Oof. Style. All right. Prior, King, this is you again. Prior to 2012, Hawaii had a mascot, probably the coolest in all of sports. The badass dude who would do the haka on the sideline. Currently, they don't have a mascot. But what was his name, that mascot?
Maui.
You're welcome. All right, your options here, Ski. Joe, Wildman, Villy the Warrior.
I mean, one is not like the other, so I'm going to go Villy.
Yeah, that's correct. Joe. Yeah. Wouldn't it be cool if his name was just Joe? All right, Ski again. What are the official colors of Hawaii football?
It's probably some stupid variant. I mean,
floral, coral.
Coral. Coral! This is Walking Dead.
White and green.
That is incorrect. King, your options. White and green, black and green, rainbow.
I'm going to say black and green.
You probably should, yeah. That's
okay. Rainbow's not a color.
Yeah, no, it's not. I thought no, I'd get but, you, though.
But they wear the retro uniforms once a year, and I was like, are they really going to parlay that into that? Yeah. You know, because teams that wear yellow say they're gold all the time. So, anything goes.
All right, you got that one. King, Hawaii has had a long, illustrious history. What year did they suffer their first losing season? Hint, it was June Jones's second season.
Can you repeat the question?
Their first ever losing season was in this year. June
losing?
June Jones's second season.
1998.
No. Ski, your options. 2004, 2000. 1995.
Got to be 2000.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Nice work. So 4-2, Ski leads right now. Let's see. Ski, which future Hall of Fame kicker holds the
Jason
record
Elam.
For – yeah.
I know five Hawaii players. Jason Elam is one of them.
By the way, I had no idea Jason Elam went to Hawaii before I did this trivia. So good job. All right, well, Ski's the winner. So we split trivia today. That's good. I feel good about that. All right, a couple last ones here. Who's the all-time receptions record holder?
Ashley Lalee.
Devon Bess?
Devon Bess, yeah.
Devon Bess.
Lalee was one of the options, though. He had 293 catches in three seasons and 41 touchdowns in three seasons.
Did he make an NFL camp?
Yeah, I think he did. Like that first year, and then he just didn't stick around because he was tiny. Who's the all-time leader in passing yards?
Timmy Chang.
Goddamn right. Remember Cole McDonald, too?
Cole McDonald, yeah.
The white guy with dreads?
White guy with dreads, yep.
Well, because he had the dreads and he wore a visor and, like, sleeves, yes. I didn't know he was white until, like, year two.
He's a swag king. And
I saw him with his helmet. I was like, he's now gone from dreads to, like, predator dreads? And now I'm finding out he's white?
Yeah,
I can't do this. I can't support him now. No.
This has been an emotional roller coaster.
It's too much.
They have, by the way, they might have, like, low key, they might have my favorite ever just, you know, quarterback roster through history.
About 15 years straight of dudes just chucking.
Ugh, like at least like 4,500 yards a season by guys, just over and over again. And it didn't matter. They'd get to the NFL and they would do nothing. Like Brennan was fortunate enough to trick Daniel Snyder, which is not difficult to do, into thinking he'd be a good NFL quarterback. Obviously he's not. Timmy Chang. I still had high hopes for Timmy Chang. Oh, well. Maybe one day under Todd Graham's leadership.
Here's some Hawaii trivia.
Okay.
In 1994, which Oregon Duck wide receiver broke his neck at Aloha Stadium?
Ooh. Broke his neck?
I mean, he wasn't paralyzed.
I don't remember that happening.
Well, because there was no, like, TV didn't really exist then.
No, Pat Johnson was like 97, 98.
No, later.
Later, right?
It's the year they went to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah. It wasn't Christian McLemore. Because he played in the Rose Bowl. I got nothing.
Corey Murphy. And I know someone like Kurt is going to correct me and be like, well, actually, it was the seventh metacarpal, which is a kind of in between the neck. It wasn't exactly his neck. Go to hell, Kurt.
I say this in the most loving
damn historian.
I say this historian. In the most loving way possible, Kurt.
Absolutely.
Actually, King, well, it was not actually the neck that was broken.
It was the 14th and 15th metapersal. All right, I got it. Whatever.
All right, let's go. So we'll be back on Thursday. We'll talk about the Pac-12 and what they're going to decide to do and some baseball.
We got NBA, too. We didn't NBA. Talk about the Clippers. Ooh.
Oh, it's a shame because last week I really wanted to talk about Denver, and then Denver, like, went – I was like, man, it's a shame Denver's never going to win anything because I really like their team. And then sure enough, they come back and actually win. So, yeah, we'll talk basketball. We'll talk baseball. My A's, obviously, clinching.
Oregon Duck legend, Jamal Murray.
Oregon Duck legend, Jamal Murray. All right, later.